Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:30 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is November 5th, and I thought I'd kick off with the Baltic Dry Index because it's coming down fast. And that's a significant decline off of an accelerated trend, and it's certainly helping to unwind some of the worries about inflation. And this is, I think, one of the more important factors, because what was the thing that everyone was worrying about last week? There was these incredibly alarmist articles about just how difficult it was to move things around the world, and these incredible bottlenecks that had evolved in various ports, particularly around Chicago. So with all of that alarmism, then I was trying to highlight that we had no difficulty getting our goods in from China, that we had had problems in the past going through customs, and we'd had delays in the order of 2, even 3 weeks. And this time we didn't get stopped at customs at all, and I suspect that the number of goods that are being stopped by customs right now is quite low, and that we didn't have more than about a week of a wait at the port before our goods were put on a train and delivered to Dallas. So at least that suggests that there are plenty of parts of the economy that are being held up by supply shortages. But then there are others that are doing just fine. And one thing that I thought was particularly interesting is the big move that we had today in Qualcomm, because Qualcomm has very clearly stated that they're doing okay, and they design parts for mobile phones, and they design the chips, but they don't manufacture in any shape or form. So they've been able to farm out their manufacturing to a range of different suppliers, and they have been able to circumvent some of the big supply deficits that other companies have had difficulty with. And their estimate is that from talking to all of those different suppliers, that the supply shortage for chips will be over by the end of the second quarter. And that's exactly what Volkswagen had to say. If we just remember that about a month ago, Volkswagen gave an interview, or somebody at Volkswagen gave an interview, and said that it would be the end of the second quarter before they could make every car that they wished to make. Well, what that suggests is that by the end of June next year, we're going to be at a position where the vast majority of companies who require chips will be able to source them. And we also know that Taiwan Semiconductor are increasing supply of chips by 40% by the end of this year. So that's also contributing to additional new supply coming into the market. And then we have companies like Nvidia that are accelerating higher, because they are the modern day equivalent of selling shovels in a gold rush. But more important than that, there has been a lot of worry about the supply shortages, and they've been going on for sufficiently long that people think they're going to last indefinitely. But if we listen to the people who are buying them, then they're telling us across sectors that it's going to be over by the middle of next year. So when we then think about what's going on in the bond markets, well, investors are beginning to take the view that by the time the Federal Reserve gets to the end of its tapering, which will be at the end of the second quarter next year, that they're not going to be under quite the same duress to hike rates. Even though you have a majority of people on the Fed board, and indeed in the Bank of England, who also had, and there was an extremely large move in terms of the compression in yields in the UK yesterday, and it fed through into trading today as well. But it's quite likely that the reason that these bond yields are coming down rather than rising because of inflationary pressures is because investors are looking through the data to and pricing in what's likely almost 9 months from now. So I guess technically 8 months. So then that would suggest that some of the inflationary pressures that people have been worried about, and this supply shortages thing has been going on now for a while, and it's gained a lot of traction with media, and it's gained a lot of traction with consumers, and people are accelerating purchases. And I still think it's a good idea to do one's shopping for Christmas early, because while it's likely to end by the supply shortages for chips in particular will end by the end of next year, that's certainly not going to be over by this Christmas. So we have a condition where central banks are reluctant to raise interest rates because they don't want to snuff out the economic recovery, and bond investors are willing to buy the bonds because they're anticipating that some of the inflation will start to ebb away. But I think it's perhaps more correct to think about this inflation as lumpy inflation, because it's not that we're getting a lot of movement in the headline inflation rate, but we're getting a lot of movement in the components. So oil prices were off the low in here today, bouncing from the $80 area. That's the upper side of the base formation, and it's an ideal place for some support to start to come back in. We've had President Biden talking about releasing supply from the strategic reserve, but that reserve is finite, and OPEC has a much greater control over supply now than they did before the or excuse me, my phone was ringing. They have a much greater influence over the oil market now than they had before all of these oil companies basically gave up on exploration because it's now politically unfeasible for them to commit the kind of capital necessary to really boost supply. So it's increasingly likely that oil prices will continue to march higher, and of course that is inflationary. And then we have this rolling argument about wages. So wage demand growth has been trending higher, and I suspect that it will continue to trend higher. But perhaps the bargaining potential for employees will be impacted by the fact that the excessive unemployment benefits have expired, and they expired about 3 months ago. And that would suggest that a lot of the people who have been surviving on their savings will be forced to go back into the workforce. Now, they're not going to be happy about it, and they're still in a reasonable position where they can negotiate for higher wages. And I think that people will increasingly be agitating for higher wages and better conditions, because the pandemic has been a transformative, I think, experience for a lot of people, where they simply value their own time and effort more now than they did before, because they put a greater value on their own lives than they had ever really considered. That brush with fatality, and or at least staring into the abyss of fatality for the majority of people, it's not something that everyone wants to consider. But the reality is that once one has come face to face with fatality, then you definitely start to think about the remaining time you have left as being more valuable. And that's pretty much exactly why people are asking for better conditions and more wages. And of course, that is inflationary. But it's not inflationary in a straight line, and it's going to go up and down. And we've had a lot of up. So then more people coming back to work because their savings are running out, well, then that will start to, I think, lessen their bargaining potential. So we're in this situation where inflation is rising on aggregate, but that the individual components are extraordinarily volatile. And central banks are extremely reluctant to act in the face of that kind of volatility, because it throws off the kind of steady measuring of statistics to which they're accustomed. So we're back in an environment where inflation is rising and central banks don't want to or feel inhibited from acting, and that's a pretty benign environment for gold. And the price was up $24 in here today. So we are now trading back above $1,800. It's testing the region of the peaks from July and August. I've been very clear in stating that over the course of the last 6 months, we've had a triangular pattern evolving. So we have the sequence of higher reaction lows, we have the sequence of lower rally highs. The volatility of the market has been decreasing, but the fervor and emotionality of the arguments about whether gold should go up or down has become more volatile. People are really willing to argue that gold should be trading down to $1,500, or that it should fall significantly further, and that it's a very risky business, and that one should really be very careful because they've been conditioned over the course of the last year to expect big drawdowns, because that's what we've had. And we had big drawdowns, most particularly in June of this year. But what we have more recently seen is big bounces. So now we're coming to the upper side of this triangle, and it's an area of potential resistance. So just like 3 or 4 days ago, we had the stab on the downside, and that looked like the beginning of a higher reaction low. Well, now the big question is going to be whether we're going to have another little lower rally high, and whether this triangle is going to continue to narrow, or whether we're in on the cusp of a breakout. And if we are on the cusp of a breakout, well, then I would anticipate that gold is going to push on above the $2,000 level in very short order. It's only $200 from here, which it could do in a day if we get a big dynamic move. But we're not quite there yet. But it's certainly looking more encouraging. And I think it's also particularly relevant to pay attention to some of the gold shares, because the thing that happened in October was that it broke the sequence of lower rally highs. And now we have a higher reaction low, and we had an upside Q reversal 3 days ago. It did not follow through on the upside yesterday, but it did do it today. So we have a higher high and we have a higher low. That's an uptrend. And we're at the lower side of the range, and there's the potential here that this brief flurry below $30 was a failed downside break. And we're now seeing that the dynamic of the failure is bigger than the dynamic of the breakdown, which would suggest that we're going to go back up and test the $40 area, and that on this occasion it might represent the end of this first step above the base, which has been forming now for more than a year. And I think something that veteran gold investors will have been accustomed to in the big run-up from 1999 through to 2011 was that gold is perfectly capable of going sideways for a year or two. And 18 months with breakouts in Septembers of odd years was the very odd kind of consistency we had in the last bull market. Well, this one didn't break out in September, but it tried. And then we had the big pullback in October. So that, I think, was one of the factors that contributed to negative sentiment. But the reality is that gold tends to do best when you have inflation and central banks aren't willing to do anything about it. And the shorthand for that is negative real interest rates. Of course, we've had negative real interest rates for a good long while, and there's been this just lengthy argument about whether we'd have inflation or not, or how long would inflation last, because central banks have been clear that they thought it would be transitory, and they've almost given up on transitory, and cent and now there's some supporting evidence, at least, that some of the factors will be transitory, but the consumer isn't, and their demands for better wages and better conditions is unlikely to be transitory. And that is going to contribute to inflationary pressures. So the S&P 500 was up again in here today, and we've had a really impressive advance. And it's been up now for just consecutive days with just one or two on the downside. And although it was up today, it wasn't quite able to hold all of the advance. Now, we've had some spectacular moves. And I think it is worth just also highlighting that the biotech sector is incredibly exciting. And the solutions that biotech has been able to deliver are really quite astounding. But the problem from an investor's perspective is that it has turned into a winner-takes-all market. So Moderna was one of the best performing shares in the US markets this year, but it peaked in August and it has more than halved since then. Whereas Pfizer now is in the lead because they both have the tailwind of their inoculations as well as a successful trial of an oral solution or an oral vaccine. And the share is now pushing back on the upside. And the problem from an investor's perspective is that this is really weighing on the biotech sector. So the biotech sector is now pulling back from the region of the trend mean. So it doesn't mean that every biotech company is in the same boat, but it's going to be much more of a stock picker's market than one might like to really engage with. And it's going to be a more difficult environment because we've had such a concentration of interest in vaccines, but it isn't the only story. And there's likely to be a further concentration into genetic solutions as a result of the really quite profound changes that we've had as a result of the vaccine innovations. Because we can go into clinical trials faster with genetic solutions. And by getting to clinical trials quicker, you save money. So that efficiency is going to create better opportunities for anyone who's doing genetic solutions. But then the business model for genetic cures rather than chronic treatments is very different as well. So we've got a lot of flux in the sector. So it's really going to be a question of not just getting a product to market any longer, but what the business model is going to be and how profitable it can be. And then, of course, there's the big question for many biotech companies, which is how quickly can they get bought out? Because one of the primary rationales was that you would get your biotech company up to a position where it would simply get bought out as you entered trials. Now that that can happen faster, there's going to be a much bigger pipeline of new companies, and then many of them might be promising targets, but there will be such a proliferation of them that it's going to be difficult to make one's case. And that again is also weighing on the sector. So we're going to have to see a really quite clear upward dynamic soon in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. I do think that we're in a bubbly kind of environment. The more people I talk to, and the more I hear about the metaverse, and this artificial supply inelasticity argument, where we're seeing that people are recreating the same kinds of inequalities in the online metaverse as we have in the real world, that's not going to solve society's ills, even though it's being held out as this incredible innovation. But one of the primary reasons that people are extremely interested in the metaverse is because they might have missed out on the fantastic opportunities that Bitcoin offered, because it has been up several tens of thousands of percent over the course of the last decade, and the only way to gain those kinds of advances would be then to go off and invest in the next new thing. So people are very active in the NFT market. They're very active in the metaverse stocks and the gamification of the whole investment universe. And I think that's why Facebook has renamed themselves. That's why they're getting into this sector. Now, one thing, of course, is that Bitcoin has so far been holding around this $60,000 area, but it hasn't been doing very much of anything for the last while, and it really does need to hold that $57,000 level. Ethereum has certainly got more use cases attached to it, and it did push on to a new all-time high over the course of the last few days, but so far hasn't really gone much further than that, but still it's still a clear uptrend overall. When we think about Facebook, it's been in a reasonably consistent advance, and it's bouncing from the region of the trend mean right now because of so much excitement about the overall bull market in these off stock market investments. The significant advance that we've had in Nvidia has created some interest in semiconductors, but it wasn't the leader advancer on the index today. Qualcomm was. Then Microchip Technology and Applied Materials. Well, Microchip Technology was one of the companies that was looking pretty ropey not all that long ago, and now it has clearly popped on the upside and is pushing on to new high ground. So that suggests as well that there is a lot of investment going into building the machinery to manufacture semiconductors, and that we're in a bit of a gold rush scenario where there's a lot of demand and the supply hasn't quite caught up yet. So that's a benign environment for at least the next 6 or 8 months. And then the question is, when will we start to see oversupply getting priced into the market? There isn't a lot of evidence that that's happening right now. So we're still in a reasonably benign environment, despite the fact that we have short-term overbought conditions on stock markets. And it wouldn't be all that surprising if we start to see a little bit of pause and consolidation. The one thing that I think is important is that the yield curve spread is starting to come back down. And if we start to see it trading back below the 100 basis point level, and we're really not all that far away from that right now, well, that would be supportive of the view that we're still in a very clear bull market overall, and that any tightening that might occur is going to be reasonably benign. And it's not really until we get to a point where the yield curve's inverted that we would need to start worrying about the environment that we're in right now rolling over into more of a recession. But we are in an inflationary environment, so ultimately there will have to be a response, and that will have an effect on asset prices, most particularly those with no earnings. But we're just not there yet, and that suggests that this bull market has further to go on the upside, and that gold in particular has got a long way to go on the upside, and not least because it hasn't gone anywhere for more than a year.